This recording is labeled explicit, but your audience's only parental discretion is advised.
This is Dr. Bo.
Here we go.
The following program is brought to you in honky vision.
The jury found that they were all not guilty.
Magnificent specimen of pure Alabama black snake, but ain't too goddamn buku.
Dr. Moe is on the air.
Where no man has gone before.
Everywhere. All around the universe.
I do not look down on niggers, kites, wops, or greasers. Here you are all equally worthless.
That just happened.
And this is the show with something to offend everybody.
With Dr. Moe.
This is Dr. Moe. Welcome to the Danger Zone.
Hey, what's up? This is Clarissa Santiago. You know me from American Princess. Yeah, that's right. The real beauty from the Bronx. And you're listening to Dr. Moe in the Danger Zone.
Right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show. Big news. Barack Obama chooses Joe Biden to be his running mate. Joe Biden's going to be the vice presidential candidate on the Obama ticket. Got a few things to say about that that you should know, I think. First of all, recently, Joe Biden was in hot water for making comments, I guess, that like anti-Obama, like he was bashing Obama, like Obama bashing. What are you talking about? He just picked a guy who was bashing him. Senator Joe Biden was quoted in the New York Observer about his Democratic opponents, and he was evaluating Hillary, McCain, Edwards. Okay, Hillary is an angry wife. McCain is an old POW. Edwards is a philanderer. Then we've got Barack Obama. And so he made remarks about Barack Obama, which, you know, those remarks were apparently highlighted right away as something bad. So, in this article, he said, I mean, you got the first mainstream African American who is articulate and bright and clean and a nice looking guy. I mean, that's a storybook, man. So this is what Joe Biden says about Barack Obama. Let's break down. Now, first of all, you know, they're saying that he's a clean African. The first clean African American is what comes out of that quote as being the offensive statement. You know, he apologized, of course, publicly right away. Barack Obama, he says, is probably the most exciting candidate that the Democratic or Republican Party has produced at least since I've been around, and he's fresh. He's new. He's smart, he's insightful, and I really regret that some have taken totally out of context my use of the word clean. All right, so he's saying, you know, people took it out of context. He also adds, my mother had an expression, clean as a whistle, sharp as a tack. Yes, I've heard that. That's an old white people expression, but I use it too. You know, he's... Obama knows, says, you know, he called me, they talked, you know, they talked. He's like, we got more important things to worry about. We got Iraq, we got healthcare, we got energy. This is low on the list. And, I mean, boom, they're putting it out there right away, squashing it immediately. Listen, he's almost like setting the tone. Let's, you know, take it easy on that. He has no problem with Joe Biden. I mean, they call each other, they talk. You got to know that that's happening. So, anyway, the comments apparently, yeah, Biden ran for the White House in 1988, but he pulled out of the race before the first votes were cast. He says that he decided to run for president again because he was tired of President Bush's, you know, the way he was doing. He's doing business. He says, "I'm running because I believe this administration has dug up a very deep hole in terms, you know, of both the foreign and domestic policies." And he tried to, in this press conference, he tried to talk about the future of the power of the ticket, but every question was about his comments that he made about Barack Obama. Now, he's made other questionable comments. Now the process is going to be to establish a pattern with Joe Biden, and the kind of pattern we want to establish at this point, we meaning the opposition, is we want to establish a pattern of him fucking up, okay, and saying some stupid ass shit about Americans, people living here. You know what I'm talking about. In June 2006, he was in New Hampshire, and he was commenting on the growth of the Indian American population. An Indian American is from India, Indian people who live in the United States, not Native Americans who we used to call Indians. Although they were all Americans, North and South. So he's out there in Delaware saying, "You cannot go into a 7-Eleven or Dunkin' Donuts unless you have a slight Indian accent." Oh, I'm not joking. He added that. He added, "Oh, I'm not joking." Damn. Damn, Joe. What you doing, Joe? Damn it, Joe. Shut the hell up. Here's the thing with Joe, like, think about it. Sometimes when you go into an Indian Dunkin' Donuts, here's the thing with the slight Indian accent. I'm going to explain what Joe meant. I'm in love with Joe. Joe has somebody put a fucking a firecracker up his ass or something, because he'll just tell you what he thinks right now. And plus, he's getting old. You know, when you get old, those barriers, those controls don't really fire off as they're supposed to. So, you know, you can't control yourself. He's saying some crazy shit. But here's the thing. Here's what I've noticed. This is not just Delaware. This is East Coast. This is everywhere. They've taken over. I'm surprised they weren't included in the census. The new census numbers, they're saying by 2020 or 40 or 41, 2050, I think, 41% of the population is going to be Latino. 1 in 3 people are going to be Latino in the United States. Ain't that a bitch? I wonder where, like, everybody else is going to go. Unless, you know, it's going to be a big old orgy. Everybody's going to be fucking each other. You cannot go into a 7-Eleven or a Dunkin' Donuts unless you have a slight Indian accent. And this is because of that. You walk in there and you try to talk to them and make an order, and sometimes they don't understand you. They don't understand what you're saying when you're talking in English. And so you almost have to make it sound like something familiar to them. In other words, apply a slight Indian accent to what you're saying so these people can actually understand what you're fucking talking about. This is serious, ladies and gentlemen. This has already happened with the Latin accent, which is good because that sounds sexy. I mean, you kidding me? You know, Scarface, I grew up on that shit. American Me, the movie? Come on. This is good shit. But the Indian—it's true. The Indian, the slight Indian accent, must be applied at times in order to facilitate comprehension between the foreigners operating these institutions, which we are frequenting for commerce and consumption. And I'm not even talking about the other thing yet, where you go to a Japanese hibachi and everybody's Latino. I'm just saying. They could have... Yeah, somebody could have told me. You know what I'm saying here? This is ridiculous. Anyway. So he said that, and they crucified him. But you understand what I'm talking about. And in a way, this is a good American thing to do, that you can quote-unquote globalize yourself, internationalize yourself by adopting these various fucking accents so you can communicate with other people. So you're becoming a better person as a result of this. I think it's a good thing. I mean, happened to mention it, and the press went wild. Unbelievable. So, Biden is basically, he made this other comment 2 months later, by the way. He's basically continuing on establishing this pattern. 2 months later, he makes this comment on the news. They asked him about his running for president. They asked him, how could a Northeast liberal compete against more conservative Southern candidates? And he responds, better than everybody else. You don't know my state. My state was a slave state. My state is a border state. My state is the 8th largest black population in the country. My state is anything from a Northeast liberal state. And so apparently this comment, the state didn't take it well. The state came out, Biden referred to Delaware as the slave state that fought beside the North. That's only because we couldn't figure out how to get the South. There were a couple of states in the way. I don't know. They're going back and forth. Apparently, he said slave, and all kinds of fucking internet censors went off. And, they brought these people in. Somebody's got to come in and have this conversation. But he's saying these things, which are unbelievable. They're trying to make it out like he's being racist. They had to ask Reverend Jesse Jackson about his comments, who also ran for president in 88. And he says, I didn't think Biden was being racist. I did call Biden and talk to him. So he did call Biden. So Jesse is out there still calling motherfuckers. Jesse is still calling motherfuckers. Unbelievable. And he's calling them and tell them, hey, listen now, Joel, I don't know, but this has got to go. You can't be calling people slave state, understand? And Joe Biden was like, yeah, Jesse, I'm sorry, man, I was pissed, man, those fuckers ambushed me on the goddamn news. Sorry, Reverend, damn it. Joe Biden, he can't be, he seems so real. I can't believe it, but with all of this stuff that he's apparently credited with, I think the reason why he was picked by Obama is because the Republicans, the other side, have been very staunch on, you ain't got no foreign policy experience, you ain't got shit, motherfucker, you don't know. last time you went to Iraq? When was the last time you went to Iraq? Shit. And John McCain was walking around swinging his nuts as high as he could, you know, because his arms don't go right above his shoulders, you know, because it's going to be like, it's going to be like a low swing, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, he was out there talking all this shit, and then next thing you know, Barack not only goes there, he goes every fucking where else, and they fucking love him. And all they could do is hate on him while he was doing it. So, you know, that's crazy. But let's break down Joe's comment a little bit. He says, you got the first mainstream African-American who is articulate and bright and clean and a nice-looking guy. I mean, that's a storybook, man. Okay, now, break down the quote. First of all, the end of the quote. I mean, that's a storybook, man. That kind of an accolade really signifies that this is, you know, he means what the fuck he's saying. He's really honest about that. So then, the things that are said before it should not be considered offensive because they precede a huge accolade. You're not going to insult somebody in one sentence and give him an accolade in another, especially if you think you're some kind of politician. Which I know he thinks he is. He's Mr. Washington. A lot of people saying Joe Biden represents Washington. Joe Biden, you know, he knows Washington. Washington knows him. You know what I'm saying? So if Barack Obama picks Joe Biden, the Republicans have shit to go on. This whole thing of Barack Obama being a risk and not knowing foreign policy and not having been to Iraq and not, you know, that weakness. Like, he will not keep us safe. Barack Obama will not keep us safe. And he's black. Check it out. Right? That's what the one side is saying. So Barack Obama gets the whitest guy out there, gets the oldest guy out there, the most senior guy out there, the most known guy out there, the most experienced guy out there. And the first thing that happens is they start breaking down the shit he said to make him out to be insincere and a bad pick. And then everybody's got to go in defense mode and, like, be defending shit instead of, like, putting a message together. I urge those two, they better get it together in terms of putting a message together, because the longer they hold out on that and they keep fighting all these fucking paparazzi Republicans, it'll waste a lot of fucking time. Do you know what I mean? Do you know what I'm saying? So here's the thing, the other thing about Biden, and, you know, I didn't even plan to make this the Biden show, but it's going to be because I have a few more things to say about it. Apparently, they're saying Biden opposed the first Gulf War, but he voted for the second Gulf War. And a lot of people did. Hillary Clinton did, and she still ran for president. And you know, he's no longer a candidate for president, though. Let's remember that. He is vice president. So they need to stop looking at him. And by the way, I've been calling Obama Biden for months now. If you go back to my website, you can pull up the podcast. Obama Biden, I talked about it, and to me, that was the winning combination. So, obviously, I was right. And that it's with great pleasure that I say this. It's wonderful. It's better than winning a Formula One race on my Xbox. So, back in the debates, he said Obama was not ready to be the president. Apparently, he's genuinely a nice guy, a very nice person. But, you know, that was one of the points that they started making, was he said Obama wasn't ready. Did he change his mind? Was he lying? Is he lying now? So, he's a member of that, the Senate Judiciary Committee. And so he knows about the laws. He knows about that. He's familiar with that process. He knows Washington. That's a good thing for Obama. Obama, young senator, inexperienced, has not been around for a long time. So, like, as a voter, somebody who would vote for him, I would be more comfortable seeing Joe Biden next to him because I know the guy is experienced. The guy knows what's going on out there. He knows the town. He, you know, he's part of that whole crew. He's old school. Old school on, you know, backing Barack. And what's important, what's interesting here is that, you know, George Bush went through the same thing. Yeah, George Bush came up. You know, there were the same concerns about him. He's young. He's inexperienced. He doesn't know shit. He's failed at many of his businesses. He never went to the army. He dodged a draft. Whatever. And they brought in Dick Cheney, who was like this senior guy who had already been in an administration with his father. He had the connections. He knew Washington. He had Karl Rove, of course. And, you know, the part of that machine. And so, you know, that's how they brought him in like that. So the same thing is happening with Obama. And that's, you know, any smart campaigner would do that. If you're in a campaign, if they start talking about you're inexperienced and you're too young and shit like that. That's why I knew that they weren't going to pick Evan Bayh. Because Evan Bayh is young. And he would be double the inexperience. Even though he has some executive experience, he's still young. It's two young dudes running the country. Would not have gone through. There were really only two choices for Barack Obama as vice president. And I know this. I knew this then, and I know this now. The two choices were Hillary Clinton, because she managed to get 16 million votes. That's a powerhouse. If you want to win, you want to have her on your team. Of course, there's some personal issues. Or Joe Biden. If you can't have the person who's won the rest of the votes, then get somebody who people know, who is experienced, who's been around, who knows how shit runs. That's the guy that you want on your team. And so, to me, there were only ever two clear choices in terms of vice president. Now, the Hillary thing would have been a powerhouse. If it would have been nice if they had run a cleaner campaign, but I think they just went textbook. They went hard. And they went at it. And the McCain campaign was just taking notes. You know? So, it was a rough war. So rough that there are groups of people, the PUMA, they're PUMAs, P-U-M-A, which stands for Party Unity My Ass. Hillary Clinton called for party unity. And that, those are the segment of people, including Harriet Christensen, or Harriet Christian, the woman that was quoted saying that, you know, black people don't even know why they're voting for him. You know, they're only voting for him because he's black, 98% of the vote. I mean, she's making her shit is racist. That's a racist perspective. These people, the PUMAs, are a lot of them are coming from a different perspective, like a feminist perspective. One line that stuck in my mind when she was talking about how she felt was that this woman was passed over for promotion. She was the most qualified, and she got passed over by a dude, let alone a black dude. And with all the power that they had, right, all the Clintons that they, you know, all the shit that they had in their back pockets, and she was passed over for promotion, so they're really pissed. And I'm hoping to interview one of them soon. So we'll have to see. And those folks are angry, and they'll vote for McCain in order to, you know. But apparently that group is winding down. There are not a lot of those people. I think there's been more people coming over than not. I don't know. But, you know, the feminism. You know, she got a lot of these women, but those are, I think, angry women. Because, you know, if you just want to, you know, be part of the game, you know, you can play the game. But don't be angry about it. If you're pissed and fight about it, a lot of black people got that problem. You be angry at the white man, and then you decide to stay out of the white man's playing arena, and you don't get to play and get a chance to win. Got to have a chance to win at least if you're gonna be here. So play, and then you just might win. If you play hard, you'll win. You know, and you'll get what you need. So, but anyway, the whole Biden thing, I think it's a good move that he picked him. To me, it's a good move. I'm not sure how much, what kind of impact the Pumas are going to have. But I do want to get more into what they're thinking. I want to see if it's, you know, is it anger? Is it, I don't understand. What is it? Biden, apparently, he's emotional. He's an emotional guy, you know. He comes out and he'll say what he's thinking. And he can go off any minute. And I think the Republicans like that because that makes him very volatile. What the hell is he going to say next? He's going to make more offensive black comments, and hopefully we can turn off all the black people off of Obama and get him over to our side. They don't really think he's black anyway. So we'll picture John McCain next to a whole lot of black people, and we'll show Obama next to Biden, and then we'll say, we care, we know about the civil rights struggle, because we just visited the MLK memorial, and it was real nice, even though they don't take care of it like they should. It was real nice. I went to Atlanta to see the MLK memorial, and I'm telling you, it's a fucking mess. It was a fucking mess. I don't know. The guy who was supposed to clean it up, he was sitting in the corner drinking from a bottle in a brown bag with his broom on the floor, talking on his cell phone, and I believe he was smoking a blunt. And he had a broom. That's how I knew the guy was here to clean. Nobody walks through the MLK Memorial with a broom in their freaking hands if you ain't cleaning. He's supposed to clean. That place looks like shit. And I went back there another time. Every time I go to Atlanta, I go there. That's my own little piece. I just go to the MLK Memorial and I thank him. I take action on my shit. I play the game. I'm here to win, bitches. You know? So anyway, you know, the McCains are going to use this. The McCain company, whatever, team, is going to try and use this. Because Biden is emotional. He could go off. And that's what I like about him, that he goes off. Because he tells the truth. But, you know, it comes out. And people will be like, ooh. So, but he's very strong on foreign policy, apparently. Pawlenty and Romney are the top McCain VP candidates. And, you know, Romney is strong on the economy. And so McCain doesn't know shit about the economy. He's got to read Alan Greenspan's book. So probably Romney's going to be the guy there because they can get him on that. And Biden could crush both Romney and McCain, by the way. Biden is the best pick based on the public weaknesses. You know, so the latest McCain campaign attack, Obama would rather lose a war to win a campaign. Look at that. So, anyway, we'll see what happens. I think it's great that they're running together. That's going to help him. That definitely is going to help him. And this was the issue. The issue was that he was too young. I mean, he addressed it. That's what you do. George Bush did it. Barack Obama is going to do it. In 8 years, somebody else is going to do it. Evan Bayh's going to try to run. Hillary Clinton's going to run. Now she's going to pick a young guy because she's an old bag. And Bill is still going to cheat because his dick is still hard. She's the one who ain't giving it up these days. She's Ice Queen. Anyway, I just want to talk about, quickly, the Danger Zone Network. I hope you join the Danger Zone Network. That's a network where I'm going to be posting shows before they come out. They're going to be previewed on the network. So I'm going to post it. I'm going to send it out. You folks can listen to it. And then I'll post it for iTunes for everybody else. So check the network. That's one of the exclusives that you'll get. But you'll also get, you know, pieces that'll never go anywhere else. Things that I'm working on, that I do work on, and I work on specifically for the network, which will be to give you a little exclusive, something clean, something nice, and, you know, for to let you know how much I appreciate you joining the network. And you go to DangerZoneShow.com and click on the network button right in the menu there. Or you could just go to DangerZoneShow.com/network and stop by. Now, being part of the network also, you have a chance to uniquely promote yourself to the show. And on the show, we'll be talking about different things. As you know, you like the show, but we'll be talking about members too. And we're going to be having a few of our guests joining the network, past and future guests, also fans, friends, and listeners. We're going to have you join the network, and that's the DangerZoneShow.com/network. So check it out. Be part of it. Be part of Revolution. Some good shit here. The part is, you know, we can make something great together. And you should definitely stop by. And check out DangerZoneShow.com/network. So I've been doing the live show. I posted a few of those. The live show is on Friday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern at blogtalkradio.com/DangerZoneShow, or you could just go to DangerZoneShow.com, and there's a button that says Listen Live. This takes you right to it. Also, the little blue player on the website, DangerZoneShow.com, that plays the live show, so you can listen to archives of the live show, the last live show to play. This is Dr. Mo. I'm having a good time with this. This was Obama-Biden. I call this in 08, Obama Biden. I was right, and now they figured it out. This is Dr. Mo. You are now exiting the danger zone. Yeah.